This might be a strange subject, but I want to talk a little bit about grocery shopping. When it comes to grocery shopping, I don't know, maybe some of the sisters might think, what does he know about that? But when we were growing up, my dad did most of the grocery shopping. I guess you could say it was somewhat of a ritual, if you want to call it that, that when the grocery ads came out in the paper, usually they came out primarily on a certain day, like a Wednesday or Thursday. Yes. My sisters were responsible to check the ads, see what was on sale, if there's any coupons involved, get them cut out. And they kind of had to help Daddy ascertain as to what we needed for that coming two-week period. And the boys had to help with that as well. We weren't quite as responsible with it as the girls were held responsible, but we were involved in it. To the extent that when we got a little older and we all knew what was supposed to do, if we didn't get it done, Daddy wasn't going grocery shopping. Well, the other side of that ritual, if you want to call it that, was that we went to a lot of stores. I mean, you didn't just go to one store and buy everything and come back home. You know, some of the ones that used to live in Wichita probably remember Farmer's Market on North Broadway and 81, and there was Safeway and Dillon's and IGA. And it seems like invariably we would make a stop at several of them, four or five of them at least, every time, because he was always looking for the best price. Well, we all go to the stores, our store, and they generally have all you want for food and seasoning. Those are things that promote life, health, growth, and so on. And to get them, you must go to the store. And people do so, and they don't think a thing about it. You know, it's common, it's natural, and it's normal. You need groceries, you go to the store. Well, most people make them a list, and when they make up their list, they go and shop for the best buy. And you tend to go to the place that you like the best. Now, there were some stores that other people would tell my dad, oh, you ought to go to this store. He didn't like those stores. He didn't like, I guess, the quality. Had some bad experiences, maybe bought some meat and it turned out it was spoiled and had to take it back. He didn't like that. So he went to the places that he liked the best. You obtain what you need and you take it home. In other words, you've purchased it, you've paid the price. And then you fix and enjoy until you run short. And then you go back for some more. Well, that's the way life is. And when it comes to spiritual groceries, it's the same way. Now, God has a store. Only thing about it is there's only one. No going around shopping different stores. There's only one. In Psalms, the 50th chapter, starting with the 10th verse, he says here, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Now, the Lord was talking with his people. They were wanting to make sacrifices and offerings, but he's letting them know here that it all belongs to me. Amen. The whole world and the fullness thereof, everything that is there sustaining you is mine. Yes. It's his store. And the writer spoke about Zion. And he said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Psalms 48:1. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Beautiful for situation. It applies to every need that we have. You know, there are tools that you use for working on cars and other pieces of machinery. And sometimes those tools are really just for that piece of machinery. They fit that maybe one certain situation or condition. And I've been in a place where the little mechanic work that I've done, and you're trying to reach something that you can't hardly get your hands on, and you think, I need to go buy me another tool. Yeah. And you think, I hate to go buy a tool just for this one thing, this one bolt that I can't hardly get to. And you try to figure out other ways, and you know, you get on your back and you get down underneath it, you get on top of it, you try to find all kind of positions where you can try to reach that, and you can't quite get it. And then you finally give up and go buy the right tool that can get on it and get it out. Well, God's store has all that we need. And everything that we stand in need of is provided there. Now, sometimes people don't seem to want to go and get what they need. But they don't think anything about going to the grocery store and getting what they need. They need a gallon of milk, they go. They need a pound of butter, they go. They need a loaf of bread, they don't think a thing about going to the store. Well, God has his own store. And whatever we need, we shouldn't think anything about going and meeting him there and getting it. Here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, starting with the 14th verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we find ourselves in need and we've checked it, and our pantry is short, it's time to go to the store. And he's told us to come boldly. We don't have to worry about it. Now, we have some other stores there in Wichita. I suspect you have some here that seem to kind of specialize in some things. And as a result, you find that most of their clientele are the people that's got money. Well, you know, sometimes you think, well, maybe I ought to go there and see what's there. Or maybe I ought to go there and buy some of their meat and see, you know, what it's really like. But yet you kind of hold back and say, well, you know, that's kind of where the rich folks go and people that are supposed to have money and so forth and so on. And they like to go to some of those places and buy some of the things that you and I buy, but they don't want to be seen buying them at some of these other places. I don't know. I guess they think it's a little more prestigious or something. But, you know, they have other names for them than maybe some of the names we might have for some of the different things that are sold, and yet they eat them just like we do. Well, when we consider the Lord's store, we don't have to be worried about the clientele. We're all the same. We can come there and buy. You know, he told them there, come and buy without money, without price. You know, we can come there and get what we need. And we don't have to worry about it. I know there's a family grocery chain there at home. It's called Dillon's. And they have a sign there that says, if we don't have what you want, ask us and we'll get it. You know, come on, in other words. Don't let anything keep you from coming here. Let us be of service to you. Yeah. Well, God is just that way. And he has all that we stand in need of. And if we'll only partake of that which he has, you know, you don't have to do like my mother-in-law sometimes. She sometimes she can be fixing some things. And maybe she's running short of something. Well, she's somewhat venturesome, I guess is the way to put it, creative or something. She might take a little something else and put in there and just, you know, get it on anyway. And you get to tasting it and you pretty soon one of her daughters, Mama, what you put in this? Well, I was running short of this, so that's what I thought. You fixing things up again. But you know, we can't make it that way. We can't make it that way spiritually. We can't fix it up when we run it short. We're just going to have to break on down, go on and get what we need if we're going to go on. And you know, there's something about that when you get what you need, it just tastes better. It's just better. That's all we can say about it. And it just makes a lot of difference as you go along the way. You know, sometimes, and because of that, now I'm kind of a finicky eater. So when mom-in-law fixed things, now that I know what she does, you know, if it don't look quite just right, then I'm going to start asking my wife, what is that, you know? How's it taste, you know? Is it all right? Oh, it's okay. Oh, okay. Well, then I'll try it out. But, you know, when we go through life, if we try to patch things over and just going to get by, then, you know, you hear people saying, well, it ain't working right. It's not tasting good. It's not tasting like it's supposed to. And the result is they get disappointed. And then they feel like, well, I don't want to try that again. But see, it wasn't because it was so bad. It's because they didn't get what they needed. And they went short. The writer here in 1 Chronicles, in the 28th chapter, starting with the 8th verse. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. We have, at work, and I'm sure they do the same in other places, we have some vendors who supply us our nuts and our bolts for various things. And the arrangement that we have is that they come by on a regular basis. And they check the bins. And whatever they see we're short in, they just restock it. They don't ask if we need them. They just restock them so we don't have to worry about running out. And we have on hand a supply of things there that we need when we need them. Well, God is not quite that way. He does take stock of us. But you and I have to put in for what we need. He'll show us that you're running short here. You need a little more of this. You need something else of the other. But now we got to put in for it. We've got to come and seek him. And if we'll seek him, he'll be found of us. And that which we need, he will provide. And I found that it makes no difference what it is. If we don't understand something and we seek him for it, he'll get us some understanding. I remember I was battling the devil about being sanctified. And he was trying to let me know I wasn't. And I was having a hard time. And I think it might have been the first time we actually drove out here to Pacoima. And I remember Sister Rich preached on sanctification. Now, I was seeking him. And I was, Lord, when I go out there, you know, help me to be aware to where if it comes in a song, or somebody say something in their prayer, or if it's a message or something like that, let me get an answer and something here that I can, you know, stand on. Yeah. And yet I was kind of wondering now, how is he going to do that? You know, I mean, I got this one need, And he's going to, I guess what I was really thinking was that maybe it'll come in a song or in somebody's prayer, because I thought he's going to send a message or something like that through a message just for me. I mean, when everybody else is there and they have their needs, how am I going to get what I'm looking for? And lo and behold, she gets up and preaches on sanctification. And she gave me one key in there, and I thought, there it is. I know exactly where I'm sitting now, and I know I was just being accused of the devil. Well, God is that way. If we, when he shows us where we are, or he allows things to come our way, and we're seeking him for some understanding, he'll provide it. He will provide it. I had another incident where something was taking place, and I was kind of wondering about it. And we come out here again, and old Brother Mays dealt with me at the altar, and I didn't know Brother Mays very well. And I think I could say that I really doubt that he knew me very well. But when I told him what I came for, he started talking to me as if he lived in Wichita and had been there all my life. And the things that he told me, I had to finally tell him, everything that you're telling me has already happened to me. I mean, it was like he was there all the time. But I know he was out here. But see, God answered my prayer and my concern. And when he told me that, then I told him, I know now what I need to do. It was just plain, simple. It wasn't nothing else for me to do but to get up and go start doing. Well, God is that way. And he told him here that to serve him with a willing heart, and a willing mind and a perfect heart. And he said, the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He knows exactly where we are. And he knows exactly what we stand in need of. And I don't know how he's able to do that. And, you know, I guess sometimes I kind of look at it and I don't really know how to describe it. But it's kind of like he'll feed a whole congregation. They all hearing the same thing. But when they take it in, I don't know how to say it. I'll just say it this way. One person takes it in, and to them it's broccoli. But that's what they needed. Another person sitting right there is taking it in, and to him it's cantaloupe. But that's what he needed. Somebody else take it in, and it's corn on the cob. But that's what they needed. Somebody else, it's mashed potatoes and gravy. But that's what they needed, and they all heard it at the same time. It's amazing, and it's wonderful that God is able to feed his people that way from his grocery store. All they have to do is put in for it. And he gives us this promise in Matthew, the 7th chapter, 7th verse, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And he's always giving us good things. He's always blessing and providing that which we need. Now, sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, we sometimes feel like, well, Lord, can't you get this to me another way? And don't you know he does? Don't you know he does? He knows some of us are finicky spiritually. There's some things I usually will try something once. And there's some things, though, that I've seen, and my daughter's kind of teased me. Don't you want to try this? Nope. Don't have no interest in it. Don't even want to try it the first time. You know, there's some things I just don't want no part of. And yet, at the same time, you know, you can eat other things. Now, there's some things that my children don't like that I like. And they're not too fond of eating carrots, but I'll eat them, cooked or raw. You know, they're not too fond of some other things that I'll eat them, and I'll tell them, you know, they, now they don't, well, the oldest girl does, but the two middle children don't seem to like any kind of fruit. You know, and I've been threatening them that I'm one that I don't like tomatoes, but I can raise them. And I told them, said, well, one of these days when I raise some, we'll come in, and we just going to cut it up in pieces, and we just going to sit at the table till we get it ate up. You know, it's all dead. You don't have to do that. But, you know, sometimes we're finicky spiritually, and we just won't take it. But he knows yet in his wisdom how to get it over to us, get some in us. Now, I used to not like milk, but I found out from my dad that he picked up on that, that not only me, but some of the others didn't care much for it when we was real little. And he said, well, to get milk in you, I used to feed you ice cream. Now, we all could, you know, knock out us six children and him and my mom knock out a gallon of ice cream in no time. You know, it was kind of a tradition for us that on Sunday after dinner, mother always had some dessert and daddy had to have ice cream to go along with it. And a gallon of ice cream, when we come in after Sunday from church and then after Sunday night service, eat some before we went to bed, it was gone. We all liked ice cream, but see, that was his way of getting milk down in us, you know, when we thought we didn't like milk. And I think the Lord has that kind of wisdom to get some things over to us, even though sometimes we think he's not doing it. He'll get something in us, and then sometimes we're even marveling at ourselves. Well, I did make it through that trial, and I was like, huh, usually that really kind of floors me and bothers me, but this time it didn't. What happened? Oh, the Lord's been working on us. Got us to eat a few things that we didn't think we liked. And you know, yeah, my dad was from the country. He liked that clabbered milk. Yeah, that's what he told us, but I never got close enough to find out. But I had one sister. She liked buttermilk, but she didn't want nothing to do with daddy's clabbered milk. Now, you know us mischievous boys. She had some buttermilk in the refrigerator. She went on off. We tiptoed in the kitchen, opened the refrigerator, get her a little glass of buttermilk she left in there and poured it down the sink. Shook up daddy's clabbered milk real good, poured some in her glass, put it right back in there. She drunk that milk. And she talked about how good it was. We all waited until she was real, all, you know, we was egging on. That buttermilk is, ooh, that's bad. Oh, no, this was good. This is the best I ever had. We just kept her going. Then finally we told her, that wasn't buttermilk. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. That was some of Daddy's old clabbered milk. See, she didn't know what she was drinking. And she thought it was the best she ever had. Sometimes Lord is able to do that. I remember one sister, her husband, he had told me he did not like cooked turnips, would not eat them. She said she never said a word to him, didn't argue with him, didn't try to coax him. One day he came home from work, she had dinner ready, and she had taken them turnips and cooked them. I don't know if she mashed them or what she did with them, but he thought he was eating potatoes. She let him eat till he got through, and then she let him know what he had been eating. See, and he had to back off and see, so I said I would never eat them, but I ate those, and he said, I have to admit, I thought they were good. Well, God's able to work with us and help us along the way. Now, sometimes he may put it right there front and center, you know, kind of like my parents would do sometimes, and you say, oh, I don't like that. And they say, oh, you don't have to eat it right now. Just stick it in the refrigerator. It'll be there when you come back. You won't get nothing else. When you get good and hungry, it'll be right there. You can deal with it then. You don't have to deal with it right now. Now, the Lord might do us that way, too. But, you know, it's easier on us if we'll just see where we are when he shows us. And we'll just accept it and just go on and go to the store, get what we need as we go along the way. Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 45th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, normally I've thought of this man as someone who was really looking for that one pearl. When he found it, he paid the price. But in another sense, he was looking for it, but in another sense, he was hungry. He had a hunger to have something of a certain quality, something that once he found it, the price did not matter. Now, have you ever been hungry and gone to the store looking for something and didn't find what you wanted? But yet they had something there that was just like it. Maybe you're looking for a certain brand. I don't know what kind of brands of ice cream you have out here. But at home, they have one called Breyers. Yeah. And it's expensive. Yeah. You know, $5-6 for a half a gallon. Mm-hmm. Now, I can go to Brahms, which is what I like, and I can get a half a gallon if I catch it on sale for $3. And I was looking for some ice cream, and Brahms was closed. And I'm one of these people that I can't hardly go to bed hungry. My wife can do it, but I can't. You know, there's been times when I got hungry in the middle of the night, and it was around Christmas time, and I tiptoed out of the bed, went in the kitchen, got the smoked turkey out, got the ham and the baked beans and the sweet potatoes out. She come over there, "What are you doing?" "I'm eating." "I mean, like, can't you see I'm eating?" "Why are you eating this early in the morning?" "I'm hungry." I mean, that shouldn't be hard to figure out. And she looked at me like, "Huh." I'm like, "I can't sleep when I'm hungry like you can." My stomach started growling. I just lay there awake. So I got to get up and go get something. And I'm also one of those that even if it's not much there, I start eating anything, you know. Look in the refrigerator, there's 2 eggs in there, put them in the pot and boil them. Find me some cold cereal, pull that out of the box, and I eat some of that. I'm still not full. What else is in here that I can eat? You know, and I'm one of those kind that likes coconut straight out of the bag. I'll grab some of that. She said, that's quite a mixture. I said, "That's all right. I won't go to bed hungry. I'm going to be satisfied." Well, we don't think nothing about that. But see, when we come up short, and we're sitting there thinking, "Well, if I go up there for that, everybody's going to know what I'm going for. And my soul is growling, is hungry, because we done run short." Well, it's time to go. You know? When we have that need, let's go get it. Now here this man was seeking this pearl. And it didn't matter to him what it cost. Now when I went to that store and Brahms was closed, and I couldn't get the ice cream that I wanted. Now I like the black walnut because they put a lot of nuts in it. My wife said there's too many of them in there. But see, the more nuts the better as far as I'm concerned. Well, they was closed. I went to Dillon's. And I looked in there to see what they had, and all I could see was that Breyers and that $5 price tag. I just like, "Man, I want some ice cream, but I sure don't want to pay for that. I know it's good, too. It's good, all natural." Finally, but see, I was hungry. I thought, "I hate to spend $5 on that." But I reached in my pocket and I grabbed that ice cream, and I went on home. And I ate it and was satisfied and got in the bed. Yes. Well, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in, "Oh, it's going to cost too much." Yes. And have you ever gone to the grocery store when you were hungry?
Yes.
What'd you end up doing? Yes. "Well, I'm going to go in here and I'll just buy me a little something and then go on home." No. You grab this and some of that.
Yes.
Some of that. And telling on myself, I've done it and thought, "Now I know when I go home, I'm just going to eat a little bit of this. I ain't even going to touch the other stuff. But I'm hungry right now." And I get to thinking, "Well, yeah, I'll eat some of this and I'll eat some of that and I'll eat some of the other." Well, normally that don't work. Especially if it's something sweet, because once I get a little bit of that, I'm through.
Yes.
Now, if it's fruit, then that can be different. Because then I'll grab some peaches, and I'll grab some grapes, and I'll get some cherries, and I'll get some cantaloupe, and I'll come home and sit down and eat like I'm eating steak at one of these fancy restaurants or something. See, because I get off on that and just eat until I get full. Then go to sleep. But we, when we look at this, his hunger here was to find that pearl, and then it didn't matter what it cost, he was going to buy. Well, we should have that kind of hunger. And when the Lord shows us that we're short, and when we see ourselves that we're short, because he tells us, examine ourselves. Now, you know, you don't wait till everything is completely gone out the pantry and think, oh, yeah, I guess we better go get something to eat. You know, and probably most brothers, when they come home from work, probably one of the first things they want to know is, what's to eat? I'm hungry. Well, check ourselves. When we find ourselves running short, we can go and get what we need. And if we have that kind of hunger like he had here, when he found it, it didn't matter what the price was. He bought it. I think about my wife's uncle was telling me, he went out shopping for his wife. I don't know if it was anniversary or Christmas, but he knew there was something he wanted to get for her, and it was expensive. I mean, expensive. But he went looking, and he found what he was looking for. He walked in the store, and he told the lady, you know, may I help you? Yeah, you have such and such there in the display window. I want that. Now, I don't know if she decided that he didn't look like he could afford it or what, but she said, well, that costs, he said, I don't care. I want that. He said, once I found what I wanted, he said, it cost didn't mean nothing to me. You know, I had what I wanted, what I wanted to get for her, and he could easily afford it. You know, it wasn't any matter there. When it comes to getting what we need for God, when we go to his grocery store, we can afford it. Yeah. Like the devil would have us think, oh, that's going to cost too much. No, you can afford it. And you can easily afford it. We just sometimes talk ourselves into that. You know, that, oh, I can't afford that. You know, when the smaller trucks like the Chevy S10 and the Ford Ranger, when those first started coming out, I'd always wanted to have me a little a truck. But I didn't really want the big pickup. For some reason, I needed something to haul something with sometime, but I didn't want a big pickup. When those first came out, my wife, she told me, she said, you never buy nothing for yourself. Why don't you go, you know, he's talking about, she said, why don't you go buy one? I said, well, I guess I'll go out and do some looking. I went to the lot, walked out in the middle there and found one I thought I liked. I looked at the sticker. I looked at that sticker again, and I thought, the rest of them cost like this? I looked at a couple of others, and I thought, I'm going home. I got back home. She said, did you buy something? I said, no. I said, I saw what they cost. I turned around and walked away without even talking to the salesman. I come straight home. And I still don't have one. You know, of course, now, at that time, I thought, I can't pay that. I could have paid it easier then than I can now. You know, I got more mouths to feed and more responsibilities. So I just had to put that down at the bottom of the list and say, well, I'm going to do without. But we can purchase that which God has in store for us. I had a cousin had this poem I want to share with you. It's called Heaven's Grocery Store. I was walking down life's highway a long, long time ago. One day I saw a sign that read, Heaven's Grocery Store. As I got a little closer, the door came open wide. And when I came to myself, I was standing inside. I saw a host of angels. They were standing everywhere. One handed me a basket and said, my child, shop with care. Everything a Christian needed was in that grocery store. And all you couldn't carry, you could come back the next day for more. First, I got some patience. Love was in the same row. Further down was understanding. You need that everywhere you go. I got a box or two of wisdom, a bag or two of faith. I just couldn't miss the Holy Ghost, for it was all over the place. I shopped to get some strength and courage to help me run this race. By then, my basket was getting full, but I remembered I needed some grace. I didn't forget salvation, for salvation, that was free. So I tried to get enough of that to save both you and me. Then I started up to the counter to pay my grocery bill. I thought I had everything to do my master's will. As I went up the aisle, I saw a prayer. I just had to put that in, for I knew when I stepped outside, I would run right into sin. Peace and joy were plentiful. They were on the last shelf. Song and praises were hanging near, so I just helped myself. Then I said to the angel, "How much do I owe?" He just smiled and said, "Just take these everywhere you go." Again I smiled and said, "How much do I really owe?" He smiled again and said, "My child, Jesus paid your bill a long, long time ago." You know, I've touched on this before, and I had never heard that poem until she brought that. And I just had to get a copy of that from her. And when we think about it, you know, it's a lot of things sometimes are affected by one's perception. And sometimes that perception, as I mentioned earlier, keeps people from going to get what they need because they think everybody else is going to be looking. But you know, when you need shortening, sugar, butter, toilet tissue paper, whatever, from the store, you ever stop and think everybody's going to be looking at what you got? You don't think a thing about it. No. You just go and you purchase. And true enough, they're looking. You know, I've looked at some and took note of what they had in their car, and I thought, boy, it looked like all they bought was junk food. I mean, they reckon they're having a party or what? And sometimes I've seen some, maybe it's a man, he's got all of these TV dinners in his thing, and I figure, well, he must be single. He probably don't know how to cook. And he's using all them TV dinners. And yet at the same time, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. Now, I guess as a sidelight to that, I can thank the Lord that when our dad had us all involved in that grocery shop, and it didn't stop there. We all had to learn how to cook. So come Christmas time, when the sisters and my wife get together and they plan menu, it usually is not them doing all the cooking. You know, the men get specific orders. You're going to fix such and such. You're going to smoke the turkey, and you're going to do this here. And one of the things that we learned early on was how to cook a little bit. And so when we go there, you find that TV dinners are foreign to me. I ain't never ate one in my life. Now, my wife will buy some sometimes so she can have one for lunch, you know, something quick. I don't want them. I want something that's fixed up and, if you will, done right. Now, she tell me that it tastes good. I believe her, but I'm not interested in it. See? Well, sometimes people try to get by on TV dinners with God. Yeah. Can't do it. You got to have the right stuff. Okay. You know, and you just think about it. When she said there she bought a bag or two of wisdom, bag or two of faith. I done stuck it away there. But anyway, when you look at that, just think about it. Now, one of the things I learned from my mother was to fix a German chocolate cake from scratch. So when that time comes, that's usually one of my orders. You go fix the German chocolate cake. Now just think what you could put together if you had some patience and love, some strength and courage, prayer and peace, joy and faith, wisdom, new grace. Put all that together. What kind of cooking do you think you could do? Spiritually speaking, you can enjoy that so much better than trying to get by on something short. Yes. You know, you can't. Box cakes are all right, but I like the ones made from scratch. And I'm really partial to pie as opposed to cake. You know, I like apple pie and cherry pie and blueberry pie and coconut cream pie if it's like the way my wife makes it. And you know, the men at work sometimes tell me, they say, well, he's got a pie safe at home, so he don't even let his children get to it. So they can get to it. But some of them say they don't like coconut, so I have to eat the coconut pie. And some of them say they don't like fruit, and I just tell them, you keep on not liking it. I'll take care of it, you know. But just think what we can do, spiritually speaking, as we go along the way. People say, oh, it's so hard, and oh, it's not like, I don't enjoy it like this one does and that one does. They need to learn how to cook. And they need to use the right ingredients. One of the men at work was telling me his wife had fixed something and it didn't work out right. And she's like, disappointed, and I don't know why this didn't work out right. And he finally asked her, well, did you put everything in there that it said to do? Well, yeah. And somehow it possessed him to go get the box out of the trash. And so he just kind of went down the list. Did you put this in? Yeah. Did you put that in? Yeah. Did you put this in? Yeah. It got to the eggs. Did you put the eggs in? No. Well, you can't expect it to do what it's supposed to do if you're going to put everything in there. And she was like, well, I didn't think it needed that. He said, well, what do you think they put it on the box there for in the recipe? That's why they told you to put it in there. Well, you know, if we will do a little cooking, go on and put the faith in there. It'll work. Go on and put the prayer in there. Get the grace. It'll sweeten up. You know, if we do that, we can then get to working on it. We can enjoy. The men will tell me sometimes, well, why didn't you bring some for us? And here lately, my daughters have been trying their hands at different desserts. And my wife will put some of it in my lunch sack, and they'll see it, and I'll tell them, oh, you don't want this. Well, how do you know we don't want it? Well, see, this is my daughter fixed this. You know, she's learning, and I'm going to have to try it out and see how she's coming. And, yeah, but you ain't going to give us any of it, are you? Well, no. You know, and, well, how was it? Well, she did pretty good. She did pretty good. So, you know, if we try hands at it, we can do some cooking.
Amen.
And we can't rely upon everybody else. Now, our father, he told us, before you leave home, you have to graduate from his school. And so we had to learn how to do a little bit of cooking. And he used to do a lot of the cooking at Christmas and Thanksgiving, the turkey and dressing, chicken and all those kind of things. And he'd have all six of us in there, from the oldest to the least, and he'd start fixing, dressing, and then he'd have you taste part of it. Well, what's missing here? Mm-hmm, I don't know. Well, then he'd tell us what was missing. And so that's how some of us learn to cook. Well, the thing about it, though, is you know, you can go and get Sara Lee and all these others that are already fixed. There ain't nothing like homemade. And you and I can try to enjoy somebody else's experience. Ain't nothing like having our own. And the other thing about that is, when you got it there, you can whip up something. Now, I don't know if you want to do it like my mother-in-law do it sometimes, but you can get something together, and you can enjoy it as you go along. Finally, here in Psalms, the 37th chapter, 5th verse, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also him, and also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But the 4th verse there also says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The key word there to me at this point is to delight. Take delight. Now, I remember my mother would fix a certain kind of stew. It had tomatoes in it. It had okra in it. It had some other things in it. But I just can't hardly take okra. And my dad gave me a bad experience with things red, so I won't touch a tomato. But I have come in that house, and I can just smell it, and I know what she's cooking, and it smelled good. But I just thought, I know that smells good. If it tastes half as good as it smells, that's got to be something. And you could hear her sometime sitting down with her cornbread, and she'd have a plate full of it, and she'd get to chewing and smacking. Like, it's got to be good. But I just can't bring myself to get past that okra and them tomatoes. And you couldn't pick them out, you know, because it was all through it. Well, something about it, you could see she delighted in it. But I couldn't get past it. But the thing about it is everybody can delight in the things of God. Everybody can find something that they can enjoy in God. And if they will do that, God's going to bless them. Give them the desires of their heart. Not any and everything they think they want. But He'll supply what they need and do it in a way that they're satisfied. Going that way. You and I can do some shopping. Go to the Lord's grocery store and get that which we need. People get too worried, and that's part of the trick of the devil. Oh, you go up there, they'll know what you're going for. No, they don't. Because sometimes the preacher can preach on one thing, and they may recognize that that triggers something in their mind and their heart that ties in with what he's preaching or what she's preaching, and they realize, well, what he said there brings to mind that I need this here. And they should go shopping. Go get it. Nobody really knows what you went up there for anyway. So, you know, we shouldn't worry about it. It's just like when you go to the grocery store. All of those carts are being pushed around. Some got a whole lot in their cart. Some got just a little. Some don't hardly have nothing at all, so they're carrying around a little hand basket and putting it in there. But they're all shopping and getting what they feel they need. And we can do the same in God's store. You pray for me. Amen.